Welcome to The Bonfire. I am your host, Morgan, aka Bon Diesel, and this is a podcast about video game news, reviews, rumors, and speculation. This week, I'll be covering Xbox's business update, PlayStation might be changing their tone, Switch 2 rumors again, and much more. Before we get started, on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, hit the like button, and comment down below with what you think of the show. For the podcasters, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform and leave a review on Spotify or iTunes to help me out. Thank you to everyone who supports as patrons, YouTube members, and Twitch subscribers, and as a special thank you to producer-level supporter Hassan. If you're interested in supporting this podcast, please consider becoming a member on YouTube, subscribing over on Twitch, or joining my Patreon at the link in the description of the show. Now, before we jump into the gaming news, I want to throw out a quick thank you, a little bit of a shout out to Snowbike Mike from the Kind of Funny podcast crew. The last couple times I've been in his stream on Twitch, he shouted me out and shouted this show out, presumably because he listens, which is really, really cool. Or he maybe just sees me tweet all the time, which is still really cool. So I just wanted to say a thank you for that. Snowbike Mike is the host of the XCast, that's Kind of Funny's Xbox podcast with Gary Witta, I think. I haven't seen him on there in a bit, and Paris Lilly, who's someone I've actually been in contact with in the past. Really cool show, really cool to get shouted out by him on his personal stream there. And so if you listen, thank you very much. If you don't, still just a little recognition to some good stuff and good people. Okay, gaming news, let's get into it. We're going to start off with Xbox, and we're going to start off with the business update. The lead up to this was interesting. There was a lot of people kind of doing the whole like, oh, mom and dad are mad and they're sitting us down, because this, you know, included Phil Spencer, Sarah Bond, and Matt Booty, arguably the three top people at Xbox. And anytime that they bring out that kind of horsepower, that kind of, the upper echelon of the company, it's something big. It doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad thing. And I didn't love how some people were portraying it as a negative thing and kind of assuming the worst. I learned in the last couple of weeks that gamers have got some anxiety issues, man. And as someone who has normal anxiety issues, even I wanted to tell people to have a, you know, take a chill pill, you know, for whatever that means. Let's get into what they actually talked about. So, you know, all the rumors were that the whole Xbox catalog and all the exclusives, everything was coming to PlayStation. It's not true. Only four games are going multi-platform. They didn't name the games. And there's been a lot of discussion about that. Weirdly enough, a lot of the people who were raising everyone's anxiety before the show were also pointing out this one kind of weird thing afterwards. It's almost as if there's people who are biased and are going to take everything the worst possible way. Weird. Anyways, the explanation I've seen from people who are kind of in the know and my own experience is that there's almost certainly some marketing deals or some like announcement deals to this. We need to realize that if these games are coming to, they didn't name platforms, we're assuming Switch and PlayStation. If those platforms are accepting Xbox exclusives, especially first party studio exclusives, that's a deal that's going to be made with like probably quite a few caveats, right? Because they are, for, you know, in some capacity, advertising for Xbox by putting their games on their systems. You know, when these games start up on the PlayStation, it's going to pop up and say Xbox Studios. Now, we have that on Xbox with PlayStation with MLB The Show. That's a unique situation because the license holder, MLB, I believe pushed this, and I don't think PlayStation and Xbox like negotiated that game coming over. I'm fairly certain that was the license holder being like, we want that on Xbox if you want to keep the license, and they did it because of course they do. So I just think it's weird that there were people who are really in the know, journalists and creators and kind of influencers in the gaming industry, who I saw being like, oh, why would they not announce the four games? And it's like, I mean, I'm sure they would have if they could. I just assume that there's like deals in place, especially we're under the impression that this business update was going to happen anyways, but maybe at the end of this month or even next month. Well, I would guess that when they ink these deals, I assume PlayStation and Nintendo are going to announce this stuff in the next month or so. And I assume this business update was going to coincide with those announcements or come after or come right before. Now, from everything Phil said and the team said about the games, they described them in great detail without saying their name. Most people seem to have settled on the games probably being Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment as the smaller, older games they talked about, and then Grounded and Sea of Thieves as the live service games that have maybe kind of reached their peak with Xbox and kind of, you know, done what they're going to do for the platform. And this is a way for them to infuse some new players into those games, which is cool. Phil very specifically pointed out that Starfield and Indiana Jones are not the games. I will put a for now on that, which I'll get back to shortly. And they basically said that we're trying this with four games, and there's no guarantee we're going to do it any more than that. I saw there's a lot of frustration among some people about how vague they are and things like that. And, you know, the most obvious reason for that is they don't know. They're going to put these four games out on the other platforms, and maybe they bomb, maybe they tank. Maybe any work they've had to do to put the games on those other platforms, it's going to be a waste of money because they're not going to sell very well and no one's going to play them. And then they won't do it anymore. Or it'll do really well, which I think it will, probably with Hi-Fi and probably Sea of Thieves. I think those two games will probably do well. And then they'll look for similar type games in the future that they can then move to that in the future. I really don't believe, especially from what they were saying during the show, we're not going to see this happen with Halo. Probably not Starfield. I won't rule that out entirely. I'll get back to that. Gears of War, which that rumor came up again today on Friday when I'm recording this. Any of the big like tent poles, Forza as well. But what I think it could apply for are the non-Xbox studio publishers or their recent acquisitions, right? Bethesda, ZeniMax, ABK, Activision, Blizzard, King. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we see games from those developers and studios maybe be more likely, especially the like tier two games, the Outer Worlds and things like that. That is on PlayStation because of when they acquired, but like the Outer Worlds 2 is going to be an Xbox exclusive. But I bet after a year or so, it wouldn't surprise me if a game like that would end up over on PlayStation. But it's all very interesting. I think people are looking. It's really weird how it seemed like there were so many people who were basically saying like, oh, and I'm exaggerating, but you know, why didn't this multi-trillion dollar giant corporation lay out all of their plans, you know, and they're publicly traded, so they have to be careful with what they say as well. Why didn't they tell us everything they're going to do for the next 5-10 years in great detail? And it's like, that's not how it works. Partially because why would they? Like, that's their business strategy that is at least somewhat secret. And two, they may not know. Like, I think it's, there was so much portrayal of like, well, it's only four games now. It's like, yeah, that's what they said. And if it does really well, I bet it'll be more. And if it tanks, I bet it won't be. It's frustrating to see people really going out of their way to figure out how to make this as negative as possible. You know, the rumors came out and the same type of people ran with them and got everyone worked up and got everyone freaked out. And then when we get actual info, as much as we really need, in my opinion, to chill out, then it's still, you know, finding that one weird wording of something or that one, you know, where the interview and their video doesn't quite align perfectly and exploiting that, making it a huge deal. It's frustrating. I think you kind of got to take things at face value because speculation and all of that, especially uneducated speculation, doesn't get you anywhere. Now, other things they talked about, that Game Pass is going to stay on Xbox and PC only. One of the rumors was that they were going to try to put that on PlayStation and Nintendo. Here's my thing. I don't think PlayStation or Nintendo would let them put that on their platforms, at least not anytime soon. And they also reiterated that first party games would go onto Game Pass day one, and that they were sticking with that. That was them talking about that backwards compatibility, cross play, cross save, all of that. They were really pushing that in, and that's something they've always been doing. They didn't just come out and say it, but that's partially because PlayStation has, even though more recently they've been more open to it, PlayStation's been very walled garden. And we'll talk about that more in the PlayStation section of the podcast. So it did come out later that Diablo 4 is going to be on Game Pass on March 28th for the non-core Game Pass people. It's a whole different discussion. And they talked about new hardware. And I've seen different interpretations of this. So here's my interpretation of what they said. It sounded like they were saying that there's new hardware coming later this year in the holidays. If I had to guess, that's probably going to be the haptic Xbox controller that's going to be kind of like the DualSense that was leaked in the ABK leaks. And there was a discless Series X in those leaks as well. It was the cylindrical one. And that's interesting in how it coincides with the other info. And what would be really interesting about that is the price point of that discless system. I wouldn't be surprised if, especially around the holidays, we see the Series S go down to like a $400 price point just to move units. And they very well could come in with that discless one at like $300 or $350 to try to be really competitive, with getting rid with selling that current hardware. And I don't even know how cheap they could get the Xbox. I think the Series S right now, there, I saw a starter bundle today for $220. So we'll see about that. And then they kind of implied they're going to be talking about next generation stuff this holiday as well. So the rumors last week were that could come as soon as 2026. Sarah Bond really came right out and said, like, it's going to be the biggest leap in tech ever. Mind you, earlier this week, PlayStation said the exact same thing about the PS6. So this is marketing. This is, them kind of, pounding their chest a little bit. So I don't take that too seriously. My pipe dream would be that instead of what we got with the PlayStation 5 and Series X, where they're two AMD-based systems, the GPU and CPUs, they're almost carbon copies of each other with some various differences. I would love to see Xbox specifically go crazy and partner up with like Intel and Nvidia and put an Intel CPU and Nvidia GPU tech in there, and to get that sweet, sweet DLSS on Xbox. That I think would be a system seller to have DLSS. I really do. Or if there's a way that they could license that tech onto, their proprietary board that they use for their consoles. I think that'd be a big deal because AMD, they're doing the frame generation, they're doing FSR and stuff, and it's not bad, but Nvidia is just smoking everybody in this thing, which makes sense because Nvidia is a hilariously bigger company than like an AMD. I believe they're even bigger than Intel, and was it Apple? I think they took over. It was something crazy. Nvidia is in a different league, and it would be really cool to see an actual legitimate difference between the two systems. Because if the next gen is just kind of what it was this gen, that's the PlayStation's advantage. So we'll see. They also confirmed the June showcase for games this summer. And it came out that, and they talked about it during the business update, that there's 34 million Game Pass subscribers. Now this has become a talking point because I believe it's around 9 million of those are the Game Pass Core, which are the gold folks who got switched over automatically. And so I believe the Core doesn't have access to as many of the games as the normal Game Pass and Ultimate Game Pass players. So that was a point of contention for some people. I thought this was really good. I thought it was, I didn't expect the world the way it seems like some people did. I thought they gave us the info that we needed to quell most of the concerns and stuff that people had. The big things. They committed to hardware. They committed to me, the message was like, we're basically doing things the same. We're just going to try some stuff. And the thing with doing the multi-platform, I've been saying it for a while. But Microsoft is in a unique position with Xbox. That Xbox is third place in the console competition, right? But they're making money. They're profitable. Where Sega, you know, where all the comparisons were over the last 2 weeks, was failing as a company when they started to do this stuff. Xbox isn't. Xbox is doing great. I'll talk about it more, but it's estimated that about 55 million PlayStation 5s have been sold, and that it's outselling Xbox Series consoles 2-1, with a majority of those Series consoles being S's. That's fine. I'm willing to bet that 25 to 30 million consoles moved for Xbox, even if two-thirds of them, maybe three-fifths, I don't know. If those are Series S's, that's fine. They don't care. I've tried to talk about this for years at this point, that Xbox isn't trying to beat PlayStation in the console race. And we'll talk about why PlayStation has an advantage anyways in a moment in the PlayStation section. But they just want eyes on Microsoft stuff. That's the reason that Xbox exists at all in the first place, right? And so I think that things are better than people realize. Just because Xbox isn't beating PlayStation doesn't mean that Xbox isn't doing well. And the fact that they're still doing well, even though they are in third place, that they're backed up by the biggest company in the world, basically, means that they can try to do some of this weird stuff. And that's what they're doing. And maybe they'll fail. Maybe they'll change their mind. Game Pass could fail, and they could change their mind on that too. But what I like about Xbox, and part of why I've stuck with them over the years, is that I feel like they're trying to do stuff different. And many of the things that they've tried to do over the last 10 years or so have kind of proven to be the direction the industry's going. They just tend to do it like a few years too early, and they tend to get egg on their face while they do it. So I thought this show was perfect. I thought it was what they needed to do. Would I want more info? Always. But I think what they gave us was fine. Now, when it comes to the influencers and the journalists and stuff, that was kind of hard for me to pay attention to. There were a lot of folks who went literally crazy over the last 2 weeks. I really think the people who made a big deal of selling their consoles at this huge loss to GameStop and buying a PlayStation 5 and doing all this performative stuff, like, I wish those people felt embarrassed about what they did, especially after what they told us. But they don't. Those people, you know, those people didn't do that because they're rational individuals, right? So that's fine. I kind of don't care about them. The journalist side of it has been a little tougher for me to watch. You know, a lot of folks have been pretty reasonable and tried to be unbiased and to report on this pretty honestly. But there's also been a decent number of people who, like, are really playing up the clicks, and even to the point where, and I'll just come out and talk about him, that Paul Tassi, like, didn't seem okay after this show, and, like, to the point where it, like, kind of felt like he almost seemed, like, upset that it wasn't worse, like, that the news wasn't as bad as it could have been, especially pertaining to some of the articles he wrote over the last couple weeks. And, like, that's weird. And I know, and especially with him, like, they got to do what they got to do. I understand that to a point. It's just weird. Like, it's weird seeing... what I'll say is that when the stupid Xbox tax conversation was happening, where Xbox players were getting real in their feelings about feeling like Xbox isn't treated right, or that there's bias against it and stuff, I'm going to be straight up, after the last 2 weeks, while I still don't really agree with that whole accusation and conspiracy theory, I think it's pretty hard not to feel like there aren't a lot of people in the media side of gaming rooting for Xbox to fail. Like, I think that seems so obvious, and that's just, it was so apparent over the last couple of weeks that at this point, while I still don't really agree with a lot of the theories, and I think that a lot of it's pretty overblown, I think it's pretty hard to, at the same time, ignore that it seems like there were definitely a bunch of people rooting for this business update to be a lot worse for Xbox and Xbox players, and that their reactions afterwards were odd. This is where I want to bring in some listener questions, actually, from MasterPrime901. MasterPrime asked, what other Xbox games would you like to see go multi-platform? I would say basically anything that's live service, maybe after like a 6 month or 12 month exclusive window. I think with live service games, and to be fair, I feel the same way about Helldivers 2. Helldivers 2, let it be on PlayStation for 6 months or a year, and they'd probably be good to let that game come over to Xbox eventually, because that's a really cool game. And the more people, if there's a game with microtransactions, especially multiplayer game, you only benefit from more players, especially because, like, no one's going to buy a PlayStation for Helldivers 2. I'm sure a few people will, but that's not the purpose of that game. It's actually what Phil said about the two live service games they're putting on the PlayStation and Nintendo, which we're presuming is grounded in Sea of Thieves. Those games aren't meant to be system sellers. So with games like that, you still reward your community and your consumer base. You know, with an exclusive, they feel good. This is a thing only I get. They don't get it. But then eventually you say, yeah, but we also like selling microtransactions and making money, so we're going to throw it over there too, because it's hurting no one. At least that's my take. So anything live service, I'm pretty down with. The second question from Master Prime was, do you think that the future of gaming is going to be more multi-platform? Without a doubt. I'm going to go more into that here in a moment when I talk about PlayStation. But yeah, I think Xbox is making the moves, maybe too early, but I think they're making the moves that everyone's going to make eventually. And then, do you think we're going to get a similar console to the Series S next generation? Yeah, I've talked a little bit about this. I think I even mentioned it last week. But the most recent rumors are saying a big mainline console to replace the Series X in maybe 2026. And then there may be actually a handheld as the lower tier console. I love that, because I think the Series S was probably a mistake. I think having that low that price point was good, especially during the time. And they've sold a lot of them, right? But I still do think that as time has gone on, I've taken in more of the things I've seen and feedback I've gotten privately and publicly. And like, the negatives of the Series S were probably not worth the sales, right? And especially, I think that sooner or later, probably sooner than people want, they're going to phase out the Series S as a relevant generation console. And I think that's just going to cause a lot of problems. I think, you know, if they've sold 25 million Xboxes and more than half of those are Series S's, I still think a lot of those people would have just gotten a Series X instead. But they would have had, maybe they'd be closer to 20 million in sales or something if it was only a Series X. But I think it would just be a better look, especially if they would have done a $500 Series X and a $400 discless console, the Series X, which they may end up doing at the end of this year. That basically the PlayStation strategy. If they would have mirrored that, they probably would have been better off, I think. But who knows? But this rumor of, instead of a Series S, like a handheld that's dockable, where you can still play it on a TV or a monitor, is probably the way to go, and it's the way I hope they go. PlayStation, let's talk about that. I'm going to run through these other stories relatively quickly. During an investor call, Sony announced that they will have no major franchise titles by the end of this current fiscal year, which goes all the way to March 2025. The fanboy of me has to point out that that basically means that from December of 2022 to March at least of 2025, it's 28 months, Spider-Man 2 will be the only big first-party game that Sony will release. That's insane. That's over 2 years. And that's assuming that in March of 2025, they'll release Wolverine or something. And that may not happen. That may not be true. Now, to take off my fanboy hat and to be realistic and reasonable, one, PlayStation released so many exclusive games during the bend, early in this gen, even though a lot of them were cross-generation, they were still quality, right? you know, the God of War Ragnarok, The Last of Us 2, which it was cross-gen, that's, I get it. Horizon Forbidden West, you know, the games that they have released have been really, really good. And that's why you don't see, I haven't seen, PlayStation folks freaking out about this drought of games. The other factor is they have really, really strong third-party relationships where they have games released as third-party exclusives that might as well be exclusives, right? We're talking about the Final Fantasy 16s, the Final Fantasy 7 Remake and Rebirth that's coming up. You know, they have those. Even Helldivers 2, that's a weird one because it's they own the IP, but it's a third-party studio. But anyways, I think that it's weird that this gigantic gap of first-party games isn't being talked about more. I think that it's definitely a double standard. If this was Xbox, they'd be losing their minds. But part of the reason that isn't happening is because PlayStation's fine. They're selling twice as many consoles. They're selling tons of games. They're good, right? So I do think that's wild. I also don't think it's that big of a deal at the end of the day. So some interesting things that came from this meeting, though, was pointing out that that they are so basically it was the head of Sony, I believe, and he straight up talked about something I've been talking about for years, where he's like, you know, the purpose of our games was to sell our consoles, and that's why we would only put our games onto PC many years later. You know, I've seen people argue before, like, well, it takes years for them to port these games to the PC. No, it doesn't. It shouldn't. And so they're, you know, the Sony president was straight up just saying, like, yeah, we force people to buy PlayStations to play these amazing games that we make. But that may not be sustainable. And this is coming back to this conversation from the Insomniac leaks and stuff, where, like, you know, if a game costs $250-300 million to make, you know, withholding that game from the PC player base at least may not be the best idea, because, you know, the money you make from selling consoles instead may not be worth it compared to if we were just selling them on PC day one. The margins are way better. The margins, I believe PlayStation actually does make money on their consoles. I can't imagine it's very much. It's got to be pretty minimal. And it's not nearly as good as the margin on selling your games, especially on your own platform, because you get 100% of the sale, right? And then on PC, you at least get a pretty good cut. So it really seems like, at least in some capacity, with new leadership over there at Sony and PlayStation, we may be looking at a PlayStation that isn't as focused as forcing people to buy their consoles, that isn't as focused on putting out, you know, their games on PC 2, 3, 4 years later, or maybe never, right? And what is interesting about that to me, and he even talked about day one on PC, and not just with their little side games. Helldivers 2 is doing extremely well as a day one exclusive on PC and PlayStation. Now, that's not The Last of Us and things like that. Do I think The Last of Us 3 is going to be day one on PC? Maybe it might be, you know, because, and this was so interesting because this report came out just a little bit before the, I think the day before the Xbox business thing. And at least to me reading this, it really made me be like, oh, okay. Like, Sony's seeing the same stuff that Xbox is, and they're probably going to mimic their move a little bit, right? Xbox has been doing PC game day one for a long time, and it seems like Sony may be coming around. And that goes back to what I said before about that, you know, Microsoft is often doing things kind of ahead of the pack, and that doesn't always benefit them, right? But it seems like maybe it will in this situation. Going back to what I said before, part of this as well was the announcement that they've sold almost 55 million PlayStation 5s, but it's actually gone under their pretty hopeful sales targets. And they specifically talked about being on the back end of this generation already. I mean, it's been 4 years, right? Like, the days of a 10-year dev gen cycle for these consoles is over. You know, GPUs even are, you know, the tech is moving faster than that. And especially as games get more and more parity on PC and console, the consoles can't lag behind like they used to, because they just can't do that. It's not going to work. So, It's interesting. I think it's really interesting. I think the gaming industry is pretty healthy, even though one interesting thing is that from the last gen to this one, it doesn't look like the industry is actually that much bigger. And like the number of people that they're selling things to, they're just making more money because things are more expensive. And so it seems like all of this stuff, especially this multi-platform talk, in a big way is coming from these companies realizing like, hey, we aren't really expanding the industry that much anymore. And so having these little walled gardens everywhere, it's probably not really the best for any of us. And so we'll see what comes from that. Some quick Nintendo news or rumor. I guess a couple developers have come out as sources to some outlets saying that they have switched to dev kits and that they're developing games with an intent for them to be ready in early 2025. This insinuates that the next Switch or the next Nintendo console could be coming early next year, maybe late 2024, which will be interesting. I think it's especially interesting because the supposed power targets of these is like Xbox One X or PlayStation 4 Pro-ish, which is like okay for a handheld, but say it comes out in 2025, say it comes out in March of 2025. If Xbox releases their next gen consoles in 26, that means that Nintendo will have released hardware equal in power to the two generations back. And like, I know Nintendo's not trying to compete in that way and all that, but at some point they will get so far behind that the whole, all of the crappy stereotypes about Nintendo being baby gamers and stuff like that, like at some point even Nintendo fans have to be like, hey, like Nintendo's very rich and very, they could do better than this. Like maybe they aren't going to be putting out hardware that's exactly up to par with the two platforms that are more, that care about that more, but maybe they don't need to be so far behind. But we'll have to see what happens with that, but it seems likely. Getting into some of the extra stories, IGN announces IGN Live in June as a three-day in-person event featuring, quote, world-class talent, parties, networking, and unique attractions. This is being kind of portrayed as a E3-ish event being put up by IGN, which is as many issues as I have with them. They're probably the right people to do something like this. And as far as we know so far, this is not directly affiliated with Jeff's Summer Game Fest. So if this is going to compete straight up with them, that would be very interesting. The biggest thing for them is they got to get, publishers and studios to show up in platforms, because that was E3's problem the last time they tried to do it, is they had a really cool idea. I thought E3, that just last year, was going to be great. It looked really, really cool, and no one was going to show up. So they canceled it, and now it's dead. So all the power to IGN. Good luck. Dragon's Dogma 2, which is coming out relatively soon, is going to have an uncapped frame rate. So I know the initial response to that might be like, oh, cool. The problem is, especially on console, that probably means that it's not going to be 60 FPS, and it may be a little better than 30 sometimes. And so this is actually kind of a bad thing, at least in my opinion. At least if you cap it at 30, it's consistent. In a game like this, like, there's a pretty good chance it's not going to hit 60, or at least not for a while. They may have to work on patches to give like a performance mode. So this is definitely kind of a bummer. I will probably play this on PC anyways. I am kind of going to wait for like the actual reviews to come out. I was really hype on this game for a long time, but I don't know. I'm a little more lukewarm, so we'll have to wait and see. Just today, the rumors came out and potentially confirmed that Respawn Star Wars shooter game is actually a Mandalorian game. This would be perfect. I would love that. I love Respawn's shooting mechanics and movement, especially obviously in the Titanfall games. And I think they could combine that with their really masterful hold on kind of giving a good feeling Star Wars game, like in Jedi Survivor. That combination is really, really exciting. And getting to be a Mandalorian would be really, really dope. Certain Affinity confirmed that they are partnering with Archetype Entertainment to develop the Exodus game, the one that all the Mass Effect fans are excited for. And supposedly this partnership is going back to 2022. So they could be pretty deep in there with them and getting that game developed. And I still don't know when Exodus is coming. It could be late this year, or it could be like 3 years away. I have no idea. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has a demo coming on the 21st of February. I'm watching Kinda Funny play through the 7 remake right now, and I cannot believe people talk so highly about this game's graphics. I can't believe how awful that game looks. I get that it's like a really old school 3D game that they brought up with like a remake to make it look like more modern, but I just can't get over how awful all the character designs are. Not my type of game, not my franchise. Maybe I'm the one out of the loop. I think what we've seen of Rebirth so far, the scale of that game is extremely impressive, but I still think it looks awful. I don't get it, but I'm probably the one who's wrong. Maybe I'm just a biased fanboy. And finally, I declined the Skull and Bones review code after playing some of the betas and stuff like that. And if you've paid attention to the reaction to the release of that game, I felt wrong taking a code. I have zero desire to play that game. Fun fact, in 2018, when I went to E3, I played Skull and Bones, and it didn't seem like it was very far from being done. And now, just a cool 6 years later, it's out and it's not great. In fact, from what I played, it almost seemed like it was worse than when I played it before. I don't know. Real weird, but I'm sure Ubisoft in some capacity is ready to sail on past that one. And that awful pun is where I'm going to wrap it up. If you have your own topics, questions, or feedback, be sure to let me know in my Discord, in the YouTube comments, or hit me up on Twitter at Von Diesel or at The Bonfire. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and please consider participating in the next show by submitting your questions or comments. If you want to find me anywhere else on the internet, you can get me as Von Diesel, including over on Twitch and on YouTube, where I stream and post videos pretty often. To see my other content or find ways to support everything I do, please check out the link in the description of the show. That is all I have. So until next time. We'll be right back.